Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Kirk. To all who are here in person, watching online via our streaming service or on our catch-up service, welcome to worship, everyone. We'll start our time with the joint blether between the ministers of our local presbytery grouping of Kemnay, Kintore, Echt, Midmar, Clooney Money Musk, and Blair Duff Chapel of Geary. So we will watch together the blether now.
Hello, wherever you are, and whenever you're watching it, it's lovely that you can join with us for our online joint service from the local area group. Wee bit of challenge to you. If anybody can think of a suitable name for this area group, you can put your thinking caps on and start firing off lots of suggestions. So far, the suggestions are quite limited, not in style, but just in numbers. So if anybody who's watching this can think of a name for this area group, parish group, whatever we call it, we'd love to hear from you. Anyway, enough of that. A wee bit of information from each of the churches. Stella, what's happening at Blair Duff Chapel of Geary?
Hello and welcome to all. We are looking at Harvest Thanksgiving for this week and next week. So this week is an in-service to Chapel of Geary, next week at Blair Duff. A little bit early for some, as not all the harvest is fully in, but sufficient so that we can celebrate that this week. And that's all our news from the North End.
Excellent. Thank you, Stella. And Joshua, what's happening in Kenny?
Good morning or good afternoon or good day, everybody, as well. It's nice to see everybody. We're continuing with our regular pattern of worship at 10 a.m. in the Kirk, continuing with a study series on the first part of the Book of Revelation. And happening in the wider parish of Kemnay, we're continuing to operate our lunch club at the church center, which runs on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 until 2 p.m. And we'd like to make it known that people from all across our grouping are welcome to come and take part in this lunch club. So if you're in need of some extra fellowship or support, or just want to have a chat with some folk, you're very welcome to come along and partake in a lunch together from 12 until 2, Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Kirk Center. And that's all from Kemnay.
Thank you very much for that. And I hope people take up that invitation. Neil and Tosie, what's happening in Kintore?
Well, I suppose the thing to share with you this week is that we are starting our Meet Jesus course tonight, the 19th of September, and that starts on Zoom or here in the church at 7 p.m. If you would like to have the Zoom link, it will be with each of your ministers, and you'll be able to get it on our website as well or our Facebook page. So in that course, it'll run about 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, and we'll be meeting Jesus with the possibility at the end of the course to either be put yourself forward as a candidate for baptism or to make public profession of faith if you so choose. So do come along to join us for that. And Tose is here to learn about life and worship in Scotland. So what have you learned this week, Tose?
I've learned a lot as far as the combination of hymns which are meaningful and which relate to the sermon which is being preached on that Sunday, is compared to ours. Sometimes we can just sing without that connection, as long as we are singing to God.
Well, that's a good start, and thank you for that. And we look forward to hearing more of your journey with us over the coming weeks. At Clooney and Money Musk, I'm actually away. This is the first time that we are doing the joint service as our main diet of worship, as I will be up at Chapel of Geary this weekend. So we're hoping the technology will work for that. Also, the Mainly Music group continues. I actually went and visited them last week. And the next time I go to visit, I'll have to do stretching exercises because it's quite a lot of hard work. All this jumping up and down and dancing on the spot and various things. But it was good fun. So I do hope that the groups continue. And I do hope that whatever's happening across the parishes, including Echt and Midmar, are going well just now. but we are all gathered together to worship God. So let's enjoy our fellowship and our faith as we worship God together, and maybe not sing quite as many hymns as Tozé would be used to, but we will be singing and praising God. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One further intimation to share, as we are still in the process of building back to a regular worship here in Kemnay, we are mindful of the very real need for worship and discipleship opportunities for our children as well. So we're in the process of feeling our way forward on how to care for the children in our church family, and we are proposing next Sunday, the 26th of September, to have a type of modified Children's Explorers class here in the church, which would then be transitioned over to the church center for modified Super Sunday style. And that's for families and children to take part. And we'll also be reintroducing next Sunday children's time here in worship service as well. So that is coming, and we've been communicating that to our families with children, so they're aware of it. But hopefully there'll be another step back to normality in worship as well. So with those intimations shared, we worship God in spirit and in truth, and we sing to the praise of the Lord our first hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Let us pray. Loving God, before anything was created, you were there. You brought order from chaos, and by the power of your word, you called light to issue forth from darkness. Lord, the entirety of the heavens and the earth sing your praises, and all things bear witness to your glory. And even though we and the world were created good, O Lord, we confess that we have fallen from grace. We confess that we fall short of your glory. Time and time again, we confess we have turned away from you and have sought instead to fill our lives with lesser goods, things incapable of satisfying our deepest longings. Lord, you know our condition. You know our brokenness, and in your great mercy, you sent your Son Jesus into the world as proof of your unending love for us. And because of Jesus' saving death upon the cross and his being raised again, we are able to come before you now, confessing our sins to you in the silence of our hearts. Loving God, thank you for the richness of your mercy, for the forgiveness you have revealed in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, you are the Lord and giver of life. In this time of worship, teach us, guide us, and shape us. Tune our hearts and our minds to be of one accord with your will. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who, when praying together, taught us these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And today is a special focus Sunday in the worshiping life of Kemne Kirk. It is our stewardship Sunday today. And it's my pleasure now to call forward our church treasurer, Mr. Andrew Ratcliffe, to share a bit more about that. Andrew, as you will.
Good morning. I'm also the convener of the Finance and Stewardship Group, and I'm here this morning to talk to you about this year's stewardship theme, which is all about how we can give our time and our gifts to support the church. Have any of you thought about how many people give their time freely to make this service happen each week? Well, I'll give you a hand, because some of you will be surprised about how many people there are. Obviously, we have an organist, Dots, we have our band, who give their time not just during the services, but also during practice. We have our AV team at the top, who make sure we can do our live streaming and our recorded services, and also those that stay behind after services to prepare the CDs for the house band. And also there's people behind the scenes that make sure that licenses are provided so that all that can be done. Should also not forget those who sit with those at Little Court so that they can take part in our services every week, and also communion when it happens. We have our church officers and our welcome team, and in normal times we also have people prepare teas and coffees after service for fellowship. We have the people that prepare the flowers, and not only the flowers behind me, but also look after the planter outside the front door so it's full of bloom every week. We have those that look after the Sunday school and the creche in normal times. And those, again, who work behind the scenes to make sure that those people have the clearances to work with children. And then at the end of the day, when we all go home, we have people that come in to clean, a And during the week, we have a property team that looks after all the maintenance. But that's not all we do. We also have people that serve in all our community, all our congregational groups. We have a social committee. We have a care group that does so much to support the community through COVID and its aftermath by providing free lunches, by providing hospital transport, and also bereavement support. We have a property group, who I've mentioned, also looks after the church centre and the grants. We have a church centre management team that makes sure we have a safe, clean and welcoming place to welcome our church groups, but also community groups. We have a finance and stewardship group, a worship group, a youth group, good morning group, a men's group in normal times. And we also have all our volunteers at the Loaves and Fishes Cafe and those who cater for the centre groups. There's even people who look after the gardens at the centre for free. There's those who contribute to the curtain use, those who prepare it, those who print it, and those who deliver it, those who prepare for and run our Bible study classes and our prayer chain. So I'm sorry if that's a little bit of a long list, but that's sort of the point to show how much we do in the church. And I apologise to anybody that I've missed. So to all those that do give their time freely each week and who have done in the past, we owe our thanks. But now, what we really would like is more people and new people to be part of the team that makes Kemnay Church what it is now and what it can be in the future. And we have a list of vacancies at the church in our current news for this month, which is available online. So I would ask everybody to have a read, have a think, and have a pray about how you can use your time and your gifts to support the church and to do so out of love for God and his church in Kemnay. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, very much. It is always a good reminder to hear how many activities we have going on in Kemnay Church and how much these require support and time from people to make them happen. So it doesn't happen by itself. So thank you very much for that. And I would echo your call for people to prayerfully discern how they might be of service to the collective life of Kemnay Kirk in the time to come. We continue now, and in line with using our gifts, we sing our next song of praise, I Want to Serve the Purpose of God.
I'm not afraid to die.
All of this morning's readings come to us from the book of Revelation, reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and 9 through 11, and then from chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And from verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And from chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. It's because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be truly rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may truly see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to that one and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let us pray. Loving God, as we take time to pause our lives, to be here for worship, as we take time to reflect together on the meaning of your holy word to us, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So as we've said, we're continuing with this series on the first part of the book of Revelation. As we've heard in past weeks, the first part of Revelation consists of seven letters written to seven different churches in the early days of the Christian faith. In previous weeks as well, we've considered a claim about this book made by the scholar Darrell Johnson, who says that no other book of the Bible presents Jesus as powerfully as the book of Revelation. Why is this? According to Darrell Johnson, it's because no other book of the Bible does as much to show us how Jesus is with his church today. And in previous weeks, we've heard how the term revelation, it comes to us from the Greek word apokalypsis, which sounds like apocalypse, and apocalypse means to reveal. And so this book reveals how Jesus is with his church today. No other book tells us as much about what Jesus has to say to his church today. And today we come to the seventh and the final letter, which contains our Lord's words to the church in the city of Laodicea. Now, I think it's fair to say that this is probably the most famous of the seven letters at the start of Revelation. Why is this? Well, I think partially it's due to a very famous painting by the artist Holman Hunt. This painting depicts Jesus dressed in kingly attire, but also dressed as a traveler. And the painting is kind of dark, it's nighttime, and Jesus is seen in the painting carrying a lamp in his hand, and he's knocking on a door. I imagine many of us have seen this painting. It's been around for some time. And the painting, of course, is based on Jesus' words from verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So that's one of the reasons why this seventh and final letter is, I think, the most famous of the bunch. But I think another reason why it is so well known is because this letter to the Laodicean Christians is simultaneously our Lord's most hard-hitting letter and also the most inviting letter. With that in mind, let's take a closer look at the text. At the start of this text, Jesus says, "The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation." He refers to himself in three ways right at the start. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So first, Jesus is the Amen. These days, we're accustomed to treating the word Amen as the kind of period point we put at the end of our prayers. But the word Amen means so much more than this. Does anybody know what the word Amen means, roughly speaking? So be it. May it be so. Yes, exactly right. So saying Amen is an expression of trust. It's a way of acknowledging that something is valid and binding, right? When we say Amen, we are saying to God, "Lord, I trust you. May your will be done." And so when Jesus describes himself as the true Amen, he is saying, "I am trustworthy. Here is the foundation. Here's where the rubber meets the road," right? Jesus also describes himself as the faithful and true witness. This means that our Lord is the genuine article. Or to lapse back into my American colloquialisms, it means that Jesus is the real deal, right? What we can trust what Jesus says about God, in other words, because as the faithful and true witness, he truly represents God. To hear Jesus speak is to hear God speak. And finally, Jesus calls himself the beginning of God's creation. That is a grand claim. He is the beginning of God's creation. And for me, these words draw us back to the opening of the fourth gospel, also written by John. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." That's what John's talking about here. That's what Jesus is talking about here, the beginning of God's creation. By calling himself the beginning of God's creation, Jesus is reminding the Laodicean believers and us that all of God's creation has its origin and purpose in him. Jesus shows us how God intends life to be lived. So this is who Jesus is for the Laodiceans and for us. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. That's who Jesus is. And I think these opening lines about his self-description, they help us understand our Lord's strong reaction to the conduct of the Laodiceans. And starting at verse 15 and 16, when Jesus said, "I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot," he says. "But because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." That's graphic language, is it not? Yeah. As noted by C.S. Lewis, Jesus Christ has produced mainly three effects on people who hear his message. Sometimes he elicits hatred, sometimes fear, and sometimes adoration and faith. For C.S. Lewis, he says, we're not supposed to be given the option of mild approval of Jesus, right? But that's precisely what the Laodicean believers were trying to do. They were trying to offer Jesus their mild approval. Their mild approval. Truth be told, all too often, that is what the modern church aims for as well. Mild approval of Jesus, but not too much. And to be clear, the Laodiceans didn't seem to have wrong beliefs. They weren't heretics. They knew all the right orthodox answers. The real issue with the Laodiceans was a lack of zeal. So lack of zeal. The Laodiceans, to quote Daryl Johnson again, held their beliefs respectfully, but without deep conviction, without passion, without accepting and living out the concrete, life-transforming consequences of their faith. And in verses 15 and 16, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. The lukewarm lives of the Laodiceans, they made Jesus ill. The word we translate as spit in verse 16, hope you're not squeamish, it actually means something stronger than spit. It means to vomit. Jesus literally couldn't stand the lukewarm lives of the Laodicean believers. And once again, as is the case in other parts of Revelation and the other letters, Jesus is using imagery that his hearers would understand. We know from history the city of Laodicea did not have a natural supply of water. And so it relied on water being brought in via an extensive system of stone pipes. So on the one hand, Laodicea received piping hot water from the city of Hierapolis, about 6 miles away from Laodicea. And on the other hand, it received cold, refreshing water from the springs of the nearby city of Colossae. So you have hot water coming from one side, cold water coming from another side, traveling great distances through stone pipes. By the time these sources of water reached Laodicea, they were no longer super hot or refreshingly cold, but instead they were, any guesses? They were lukewarm. Correct. So, question, if you're having a bath or a shower, would you prefer hot water or lukewarm water? Raise your hand for hot water. Raise your hand for lukewarm water. What a relief. If you're thirsty, would you prefer a cup of cold water or lukewarm water? Cold water, that's right. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the hottest water and the coldest water we could ever ask for. It tells us the greatest news in the entire world, doesn't it? To quote the pastor Tim Keller, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we are more broken and more lost than we would ever want to admit, and we are more loved and more treasured than we could ever hope to believe. The gospel offers us real forgiveness, real hope, real love, real joy, real salvation. It is the greatest news that we could ever, ever hope to hear. Nothing even remotely compares with the good news of Jesus Christ. And this good news, this was proclaimed to the believers in Laodicea, and they effectively said, that's nice, I guess. And they continued to pay it lip service, and they gave it as little time in their lives as possible without ignoring it completely. And then they went about their lives as usual. There's an old quote from Christian author Brendan Manning, who said, "The single greatest offense in the world is Christians who confess Jesus with their lips and then deny him with their lives." That is what an unbelieving world, he writes, simply finds unbelievable. And that is the kind of lukewarm behavior that Jesus simply finds intolerable. It's intolerable to claim Jesus as Lord, then not have it really show in our lives. And the spirit of Laodicea, is sadly alive and well in the church of today. Not just Kemne, but the church of today. All too often today, Christians are content and are told and encouraged to keep their faith a private matter. Right? Oh, that's private, you say. And then otherwise live in complete conformity with our fallen and sinful world. I once heard a speaker say that Christians today in cultures like ours, we have freedom of worship. We're allowed to come to church 1 hour a week on Sundays. We have freedom of worship, but we're discouraged from having freedom of religion. Big difference. We're allowed to come and sing our songs and pray our prayers and hear our messages, but we're actively discouraged. We're pressured not to live out our faith on the other 6 days of the week. And every single one of us faces this pressure, myself included. We all face pressure to keep Jesus contained to an hour on Sunday mornings and then get on with our lives as usual, to be indistinguishable from those around us. But excluding Jesus from the whole of our lives, excluding Jesus is exactly what causes lukewarmness. But it doesn't have to be this way. As we know, today is the Sunday in church when we reflect on the meaning of stewardship. And Andrew has already kindly shared some thoughts about that today, especially about the importance of using our gifts or our talents that God has given to us. I look back on my notes, and I've been saying it, I think, for over 5 years now, but there is no such thing as an ungifted Christian. And if I'm in Kemne for the next 30 years, guess what I'm going to keep saying? Friends, God has given each of us a role to play in the church. Every single believer has something to contribute to the building up of the church and the sharing of the good news of Jesus. We say this over and over again, but there's still this little voice in our head saying, "But I haven't got any gifts. I don't have any talents." At the risk of being blunt, if you're thinking this, you're wrong. And if we feel this way, "I haven't got any gifts," this is lukewarm faith. And if we feel this way about ourselves, it probably means that we are excluding Jesus from one or more areas of our lives. Again, it doesn't have to be this way. At the start of this sermon, I mentioned the famous painting by Holman Hunt of Jesus as a traveler knocking on a door. Even now, Jesus is knocking on the door of each of our lives. "Let me in," he says. "Don't keep me outside. Don't keep me in the entryway. Don't keep me in the room that you keep tidy for polite company." Instead, Jesus says, "Let me into your mess. Let me into the rooms that you keep private. Let me into the rooms that give you joy. Let me into the rooms that give you shame. Let me into the parts of your lives that you think are useless or unlovable. Let me into every part of your life," Jesus says, "and I will heal you of your lukewarm faith. I will transform you And I will use your life and your gifts in ways that you can hardly even begin to imagine. We don't have to live with lukewarm faith. We cannot live with lukewarm faith. Too much is at stake. Instead, let's let Jesus into every part of our lives so that we can use our gifts to follow him truly and completely. Amen. Let's let Jesus in to the whole of our lives. Take my life, Lord, let it be. Let us pray. Loving Father, we praise you for the provision that you pour into each of our lives. We praise you for giving us our callings and giving us the talents and the gifts we need to fulfill them. Help us to listen, learn, and seek you in all that we do, for we desire to use our gifts well. And every good gift comes from you, Father. Let us not look to the right or to the left, but always upwards to you. As we live our lives, protect us from false idols. And may you always remain seated on the throne of our hearts. Loving God, even when the world seems out of control, we trust and we believe that you have a good plan for us. Help us to remain calm and centered on you, especially on days that don't line up with our plans. And forgive us when our busyness makes us lose sight of you. We know that we are created to seek you, Lord. It's your presence that drives us, whether we realize it or not. In our lives, we want more of you. As we live our lives, help us remember that this world is not our permanent home, but we are citizens of heaven. Remind us, Lord, in moments of frailty and desperation, in moments of lukewarm faith, that you truly hold us in the palm of your hand, and you are unchanging. And with your help, we can endure and flourish for your glory. Loving God, may everything we do lead us one step closer to you. And help us to use our gifts. Help us to use them well, so that the witness of our lives will lead others to faith in Jesus. Lord, let us honor you with our gifts, with our talents, with our whole lives. And may we use our gifts to love and serve the people you have placed in each of our lives. Help us to truly submit to you and to work diligently for your glory. Lead us always, Lord. Be in every part of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends, if Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then we are indeed new creations in him. We will sing together now, I Am a New Creation. Even now, Jesus is knocking on the door of our lives. Let him in. Let him in to every part. Let him cure us of our lukewarm faith so that we may truly go forth and bear witness to his love, mercy, and grace. Go forth from this place and let Jesus in. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.